Good morning. All right, so my thoughts are a little bit scattered here and there and everywhere, hither and twain. I'm just going to pause real quick and just pray before we get started. So let's just do that. Father God, thank you so much for who you are, for what you have done for us and in our condition. And I just ask that you would be with us here this morning and you'd be with me. I ask that you would just clear my head of the fog and the chaos and that you would be my train of thought and you would guide me to where I need to go and what I need to say and that you would just remove me out of the equation and that I can just speak clearly and that truth and you would be glorified. Just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do feel very much like I'm not really sure where and how and all that stuff that it goes. Phil said something about it in this morning in Sunday school. It was a little bit ADD, and well, that's kind of how I am. My brain fires here, and it goes over there, and it's like, oh, a squirrel. And then it's like, how does that fit into over here? And so I'm going to try to stick to what I'm doing here. And so I guess before we get into things, one little just thought thing I would like to put out there for you to think about a little bit. I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but it's something for you to kind of, it is something for that I would like you to answer, but just answer for yourself and think about it, and then later we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, and before we get into that even, much of what I'm going to be sharing about this morning is informed or affected and by, I don't know, I mean, last 5 months or so, especially the last 3 months or so, and I don't know that I have a full grasp on everything, but what I am learning and what God is teaching me and showing me through some of the things that I'm going to share have been pretty exciting to me. I'm hoping I can communicate that clearly, that you understand where I'm coming from. Hopefully that's, yeah. Anyway, so this is a question to think about. So if ask this to yourself. If I had to boil down everything I knew about Jesus, about what Jesus ever said, and summarize it in one sentence, or think of one saying that is the essence of what he taught, what would that be? So if you could just boil it down to what you know about what Jesus taught while he was here on earth, what would that be? Put that in there and kind of tuck it back there for now. I'm going to start in the beginning because it's a very good place to start. Anyway, I'm going to read out of Genesis 1, just real brief. We're going to hop around a little bit here. And what I'd like to do, and the other part of what I'm sharing is very much informed by the Bible Project. I know some of you are familiar with that. They have some amazing resources in terms of understanding the history of the Bible and the relevance and the overarching story of the Bible. The Bible is not just 66 books and, you know, whatever. There is a story that is being told from the very beginning, from the first chapter to the very last chapter. And so that is, in a nutshell, what we're going to be talking about this morning is that story and how it relates to us today. So I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So, in the beginning, this is what I want to focus on here is, we've heard that so many times and all that, but in the beginning, God communed with us. Heaven and earth, in a sense, very much overlapped and were combined, if you will. We were in God's presence. Adam and Eve were in God's presence. They communed with him every day. It was together. This was where God established his kingdom on earth, was where it started. If you look in verse 28, he says, "Multiply, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over it." You know, Brendan talked a while back about that, the whole idea of dominion. And that probably informed into my thought process here too some. But it's the idea that in order for you to subdue and have dominion, there is a kingdom. And so, and in that, when he has placed in humanity, we're agents of his kingdom. So God is, I mean, he does come down here and he works directly. Obviously, we know that. But by far, if you read the Bible, by far, most of the time when he's working through people. He uses people to do this and to do that. So in the very beginning, he has established humanity as agents of his kingdom. Does that make, are you getting what I'm saying here? I'm trying to track in my own head if it makes sense or not. So just picture this. Let's just stay there in the garden. And you know, Joe Bacher, that whole series of the three gardens, again, in my mind, it was just so good and such an informative way of going through each of the different steps of what the story of the Bible is. And if you haven't heard it, go listen to it. If you had, go listen to it again. I don't know. Maybe I'm just excited about it. Maybe nobody else is. But it very much paralleled some of the things I learned while I was in Colorado with John Eldridge at that camp and some of the things that came across and that I absorbed. It's like all your life you are taught certain things. We grow, especially us, we've grown up in the church, or most of us, I guess, not all of us, but many of us have grown up in the church. We've learned the Bible, we've learned the stories, and we've learned everything. We've learned all that knowledge. But it's just knowledge. It doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. It's just right here, and we're like, okay, yeah, I know that. Yep, okay, got that. And we hear these verses, and it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, check it off the list. But does it actually permeate us to the point where it grabs us? That understanding, that wisdom that comes from that knowledge. And in some ways, it's something that we have to revisit sometimes. Sometimes we get that, and then we forget, we go out of light, and we kind of forget about it, and God has to bring us back to that and remind us, like, hey, pay attention to this again. And I feel like the last several months have been very much of that for me, in that, yeah, it's like, pay attention to this. And so, moving on here, so just imagine in the garden that it is, well, actually, before I get, so, you know, that knowledge, I think the point is, at some point, we need to be faced with that knowledge sometimes, and that knowledge needs to be activated in us, meaning it needs to be made true or made alive in us. It's in there, but is it actually working? Is it, do you live it, do you reckon it to the truth, like we're looking at Sunday, like, do you live out of that? Is it real? A true belief. So, we're at the Garden of Eden. Everything works together in peace and harmony. Can you imagine what that would be like? That is the kingdom of God. So, then something happens, okay? We all know what happened, right? We're separated from God. Adam and Eve, the fall. But What exactly happened in there? We're not going to spend a terrible lot of time into this part of it, but if you look at it, Satan comes to them and basically causes them to question. It's like, okay, did God really say this, this, and this? And did you realize that if you do this, you're going to be like him? You're going to be better than him, really, if you look at it. You're going to have knowledge, and you're going to be like God. So in other words, he was telling them, you don't need God. You do this, you can be your own God. You can be in control of your own future. You've got it. You can set up your own kingdom. God's kingdom is set up, and you are under it, but come on. I mean, look at this. He's holding out on you. Set up your own kingdom, and you be the master of your universe. And so they do. They reach out, and they establish the kingdom of earth. And in a way, kind of a parallel to that God had originally set up his kingdom through people, now Satan has sort of co-opted that and has established his kingdom through people. And Genesis 3:23-24, find out what the consequences of that. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that had turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So that kingdom of heaven on earth was torn apart. We were separated. So now we've got God's space and we have earth and man's space, right? There's some overlap in some ways, but essentially, for all intents and purposes, they've separated. And in that separation, there is a longing. Again, this part of why some of the stuff, I guess, is some of the things and thoughts are informed with is also the Sunday school, and some of it kind of complements each other a little bit. Phil mentioned this morning, and I wanted to say, yeah, that's what I wanted to. It's in Romans chapter 8, it's talking about, I'm just going to read this real quick. Chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 18-25, it says, and before that, he talks about being heirs with Christ and how we are sons of God. And he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So it's that groaning. Since that separation, it's like that withdrawal of the presence of God has created a vacancy that just longs to be filled. And out of that, I think we can all relate to this in some ways. How can you know? You look at your week and you're just tired. And the last week, maybe you had a good week. I don't know, but it almost feels like more often than not you have bad weeks, right? It seems that way. But you just get tired of doing, and you get tired of the way things are, and you long for. One of the things Joe Bakker said is the two things that humanity longs for is restoration and redemption. It's because we were ripped away from God and that communion and that intimacy with him. It's kind of like, if you think about it, we're all Ohio people right now, but this time of year, I mean, you look out and there's no sun. If it's like this for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, most of us kind of get a little bit stir crazy and like, but then imagine being here with, you know, absolutely no sun. Maybe it's all cold and dreary for a month. What are you longing for? You're like, I just want to see the sun. I want to see the rays of sun when it, and then you get that day where it's 50s and the sun comes out and you just want to run out and just bask in that sun. It's like, that's what, on a small scale, that is what creation is doing. It's like, God, we want you to shine on us. We need you. And like Phil said in Sunday school too, that is all humanity. It's not just, or all of creation. It's not just us as humans. And we see throughout Scripture, you know, that longing and that, you know, in the stories and through the accounts of everything going through, you know, Jacob's ladder in his dream, he had that staircase to heaven that connected heaven and earth. It was, again, just kind of echoing that whole longing. And there's a lot more, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time going through all of that stuff. Because I'm afraid if I go in too many different directions, it's just going to confuse you, and you're not going to, yeah, what good is that, right? So the next step is, so we're longing. And us as humans, we tend to have our culture, but just as humans, we tend to make things about us. So we look at our pain and our hurt and the things that we go through here on earth as being us. And it is. It's important to, you know, there's a certain level of that. So let me just ask you this. Let me go back to that question asked at the beginning. If you could summarize the teaching of God, what would it be like? What are the teachings of Jesus into one word or one saying or one succinct thing? Just in your mind, what would that be? I think a lot of some of the common ones are things like love your neighbors, you know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your enemies. You know, don't worry, God takes care of you. Those are the things that often come to our minds, right? And that's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't want to give the impression that that is a wrong, if you came up with those that you're wrong. It's not. That is correct, but it's not the whole picture. It's a small section of it. And so, and I think it comes from, partly we tend to focus on that, on some of the things that we want to focus on. Again, Phil, why don't you just come up and preach for me? Because we want to believe what we want to believe. We tend to find the teachers who teach what we want to believe and listen to them. Well, is there anything in the Bible that you don't want to believe? Because if there isn't, maybe we need to think about that a little bit, because being in the kingdom of God is not about making the kingdom of God to what we think it should be. It's about following the kingdom of God and what it is, even if we don't think it should be that way. It's not up to us to decide whether it should be that way. That's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Chris. So we tend to see Jesus as a moral teacher. And, you know, part of the thing of those things is it's things to do and good things to act and all that stuff. And that's fine and good. Like I said, it is a part, but it's just a part. But the gospel is more than just a get-out-of-hell card. It's much more. And I can't even scratch the surface of it up here this morning, just me, because for one, I don't even know that I understand it all that much. But so in that, I'm going to move to the New Testament now. So what did Jesus preach? We're going to just briefly look at some of the things that so all you have to do to get a summary of what the kingdom of God actually is and what the broader scope of the gospel is you look at the summaries that are in the gospels. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially. John didn't really, each one has their own little focus in a different way, okay? But Matthew, Mark, and Luke specifically, one of the very first things that they have Jesus saying is basically telling us why he's here. And just telling you right there, this is it. And I think we so often gloss over it and miss it, and we tend to focus on us and like, oh, well, Jesus saved me from my sin. Yeah, he did. But think bigger. Let's break out of that a little bit more, because if Jesus only came to die just for me so I can have eternal life in heaven, it's kind of Well, for one, it's very me-based, but it's kind of short-sighted. Well, how do you live out of that? Okay, cool. I'm saved. I can just do whatever. So I'm going to read. I'm not necessarily. You don't have to turn to them necessarily. I'm just going to read some of these. So we look in Matthew 3, verse 2, actually. Even before Jesus came, John the Baptist was already onto this. In Matthew 3, verse 2, he says, John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A few verses later, or in the next chapter, Jesus, in Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Mark 1, 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know what? I don't think I wrote down my Luke one. Why didn't I do that? Oh, yeah, actually, I bookmarked it, so here it is. So in Luke, it's a little bit, teensy bit different, but it's the same concept. You have Jesus going to the synagogue. And he came to Nazareth. This is his hometown, all right? So here he comes into Nazareth, into the people that know him, all right? And it says later they did. They're like, wait, isn't that Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, and all that stuff? It says he stood up, as was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And it says everybody looked at it, at him, kind of whatever, and then he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He was claiming that. He said, "That's me." And then later, the end of chapter 4, he says, in verse 43, he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." He didn't necessarily just come so that when we die, we hop over into God's realm and we're in heaven now. He came to reestablish the kingdom of heaven. So just backtrack and summarize what I'm trying to communicate here. The kingdom of heaven was established on earth through Adam and Eve. That kingdom was lost. And we set up our alternative kingdom. So then we have, okay, God was separated from us. He's still trying to, he's pursuing us. He still wants to, he's looking for that restoration. He is longing to, creation longs for God. But God also longs to bring creation back to the way he created it. He is looking to restore that. And the story of the Bible is that. It's his attempts. And he's working to do that, to bring that reconciliation and that coming back of the two realms and to the restoration of his kingdom on earth. And what Jesus is saying is, it's here. This is it. I came to reestablish. And so just to underscore the whole thing of the kingdom of heaven was Jesus' primary message. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, Jesus mentions the kingdom over 50 times, which in the book of Matthew is 28 chapters. That's it's over 1.5 times per chapter. It's a big deal. I think it's important enough that we should be paying attention to it and living out of this. Not just so that we can get to heaven. Yeah, that's part of it, but that's just part of it. And just going into the word that is kingdom is, let me see if I can say this right, basileia. And what that, when we think of the kingdom of heaven, what comes to your mind when you think of the kingdom of heaven? Is it a place? Because growing up, when I was growing up, I'd hear the parables of Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and he would, whatever. I always thought, oh yeah, okay, is that heaven and that's what it's like up there? Well, no, that's not what he's saying. That word, basileia, is kingdom, but it is not necessarily a geographic place. It is, well, let me just read. Okay, so it's like a royal power, a kingship, a domain, a rule. It's authority. It's not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or the authority to rule over a kingdom. So in other words, Jesus is coming in down saying, okay, the kingdom of heaven, the authority, the jurisdiction is now restored to bring the kingdom back. And so, yeah, and somebody tell me, what is D-Day? Yes, the invasion of Normandy. Was it a nice, pretty ordeal? No. It was gruesome. It was, I mean, the loss of life was unbelievable. But it was an invasion. It was one force coming in and saying, we're establishing our domain in here. When Jesus came to earth, it was an invasion. But it wasn't a bloody invasion. And it was completely different and opposite and on the head, upside down from the invasions that we know of as humans. He came as a baby to a no-name person in a stable. It was the quietest invasion in the history of mankind. But it was an invasion, and don't let that, the fact that it was the quietest invasion, detract from the seriousness of it. That invasion means there is war. And in the spiritual sense, it means it's pretty bloody. And when Jesus came to earth and invaded, all of hell stood at attention. And now they realize, this is it, they're done. Their time is over. They literally, from that moment, they're finished. Maybe it's not complete yet, and you know, it hasn't completely finalized and all played out yet, but they're done. So what Jesus was saying when he came to earth was, the reign of God is here. It has come back. It is being restored. God is still king, and he is working to reunite those separated realms and restore his relationship with man. It is his work to bring restoration and redemption to his creation. And God does the work. Jesus came, that's why he came to earth. Jesus came to do the work. We talked about that in Sunday school again. You can't make a ding. ADD brain, I won't go there. You can't put a dent. You can't scratch it. As far as earning your salvation and restoring that relationship, as we were talking about. So what does that mean for us? So if we live out of this reality, this truth that the kingdom of heaven is established, is reestablished back on earth, if we are part of that kingdom, we have a choice to whether we're going to be part. And make no mistake, you must make a choice. There is no Switzerland in this war. There's no in between. It's you are or you aren't. And if you are part of that kingdom, the battle's already won. Doesn't mean there's not work to be done in terms of being part of the kingdom, but that is, it's more of a conduit. It's a facilitating, it's a allowing God to work through us to his own ends. Remember what I said about God works through people? It's that. It's being that person saying, here I am, what are you doing with me, God? What are you going to do with me? So the mission of the church is not to necessarily, like I said, I want to be clear. I don't want to downplay salvation and converting people and saying yes, all that stuff. But the mission of the church is not necessarily just to go out and say, hey, say this prayer and you're saved when you die. Yay. It's bigger than that. It is established. It's bringing God's kingdom to earth. It's being a facilitator to bring those little pockets of God's kingdom on earth so that when Jesus comes, it can all be restored and it will be reunited in glory. God has placed the kingdom authority on us as his children. And when we operate out of that and inside the will of our Father, who is our dad, we wield his power and authority. And I'm not going to go there now, but I came across when Jesus sent out his disciples a couple times, and he told them, he gave them certain instructions. Don't store things up for yourself. Don't monetize your mission. Don't get personal gain from it. Go and preach the kingdom. He literally said that. Tell them the kingdom is at hand. So I just want to kind of wrap this up and summarize this in the sense of, and I guess what I would want you to get from this, hopefully, and what I am trying to get from learning and from what God is trying to teach me is to operate out of that kingdom focus. Not kingdom as a physical place, but the kingdom as a realm that we are a part of and that we have authority in. It is truth. It is something that we can rely on, and thereby we live there. And because of that, it's like we're living for that future hope of something that hasn't happened yet, but we know it will. And I just want to read this, the Lord's Prayer, because in a nutshell, it's right there. And so much of the time, you read the Lord's Prayer and you're just like, well, whatever. I don't read this. And then after close, I just like, maybe if we could just all pray that. I don't know. It seems like the right thing to do. So I'm just going to read this. So, I didn't write the reference down. It's in Matthew 6, I think. Matthew 6, verse 7. And he said, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard. I'm just going to read through it, and then afterwards, we'll just pray that as a closing prayer. When you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. Father, this is our dad. It's Abba, Father. Hallowed be your name. It's not something to be trifled with. It's hallowed. His name is hallowed. I'll just read. So your kingdom come. There it is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And interestingly enough, it's kingdom, and then the last part is actually coming back to us. And it says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't know. Maybe I didn't communicate it right, or maybe it doesn't affect. Maybe you've known this and you already internalized this. But for me, there's something about this that if we can grasp onto and hold onto, it changes your view on a lot of things. One, just yesterday, it was funny because we went to visit Dad, and I absolutely hate those days. Just because of everything it represents, and but All right, so we go to visit, and they have, the way that it works is there's two visitation sessions. There's a morning visitation and there's an afternoon. Well, I'm not to get into the whole long story of why and all that stuff. We basically had the opportunity to go to one or both or any of them. And if you go in the morning, you can stay all day if you want, and it goes till 3 or whatever. So on their website, I checked because before we left, I wanted to make sure we were going to get there on time. On their website, it says all visitors must be processed by 10 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, good. We're going to plan to be there by about 9 or a little after or so. And we did. And when we got up in the morning, snow and all that stuff was happening, of course. And so the roads were not too great when we left. And according to my GPS, we should still be fine. Well, when we left, we would have been fine if the roads would have been clear. But all the way through Zanesville, it was icy and we didn't go very fast. We probably went 25, 35 at the most of that realm. So long story short, by the time we got there, we got everybody out of the car, all the kids and all that stuff, and inside, we walked in the door at 9:45. And so we get in there, and the guy at the desk there is like, oh, are you guys here for the morning or the afternoon? Because the cutoff for morning is 9:45. And I said, and I literally looked at my watch, and I said, oh, yeah, it's 9:45 now, because I was like, oh, cool, we made it. But he's like, nope. And there's a part of me that welled up, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. You're going to be that petty about it? Because literally the reason they have the cutoff is so that you are processed by 10 o'clock. And does 30 seconds affect that? But there was no having. I pushed back a little bit on it. I was like, well, the website says you need, as long as you're processed by 10 o'clock, you're fine. And I was trying, in my mind, I was trying to be, nice and all that stuff, but I was pretty ticked. But it's like, nope, sorry, I'm not going to let you back. So it's an hour and a half till we can get in. And it's raining by that time, and it's just nasty outside. And I'm just like, anyway, I don't know why I'm even telling this story. I wasn't even really planning on doing it. But to illustrate this point, when we left and went to Aldi and whatever, did a few things. But while we left, I was just, right at first I was just mad. Then I got to thinking, I'm like, well, hang on a second, what am I preaching about tomorrow? And I'm like, how would the kingdom respond in this light? Because I, how it is, I was going through all the things, well, when I get back there, maybe, what could I just kind of needle into him and just, and what could I say that would just be a little bit of a snarky thing that would let him know that I'm just not happy about it and would let him know what his place actually is and all that stuff. And thankfully, I was redeemed from that thought. But most of the time, it seems I'm not, usually. We only share the times when we actually are, right? But my point is that we need to operate all of our life out of that. How are we as emissaries, ambassadors, and representatives of the kingdom of God, how do we react to those things? That should be top of mind for us. And for myself, it's not usually. I'm thinking about my kingdom. All right, so just in wrapping up, let's just close our eyes. Let's just pray the Lord's Prayer. And we'll wrap up with that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.